Hey guys, thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Dirty Giants podcast. Man, we got another really cool episode this week. We have Hunter, Chase, Jackson, and Briggs, Gregory. On Instagram, it's Four Brothers Hunt. Man, they had a crazy, crazy year. They all killed big bucks. Some of them killed multiple big bucks. We get to hear all those stories from just this year and learn from some of the stuff that they do to continue to just put these next level deer on the ground. These guys work super hard, and we kind of hear some of the highlights of their stories, but they're putting in some serious work to make these hunts happen and consistently be on these big deer. So I think there's definitely a lot to learn from all of them. Before we start, I just want to thank a couple of our sponsors. So first is Art of the Hunt. That's Art of the HNT. And they're going to be at the Western Hunting Conservation Expo this year in February. That's February 13th through the 16th. And they're actually running a really cool giveaway. They're giving away a Hoyt Carbon RX9. And it's like completely dialed out. It's got the UV slider sight. And it comes with 12 Easton arrows as well. And how you enter for that is every dollar spent on their site, which is now live, between now and the 16th, will get you 3 entries into the giveaway. And you can also get 5 free entries for following them on Instagram and another 5 for following them on YouTube and another 5 for signing up for their email list. That's Art of the HNT. And I'll put a link to their Instagram and stuff on here and a link to their website. Pretty cool giveaway. But we got the Gregory brothers on now, so let's go ahead and get right into this podcast.
All right, guys. I'm super excited about this episode. I've actually been trying to get these guys on since early August. Luckily, we just kind of never lined up time-wise, and they ended up killing, like, 5 or 6 bucks since then. So it worked out. I'm super stoked to talk to these guys, the Gregory brothers. It's Four Brothers Who Hunt on Instagram, and they've been killing it lately. We actually got all 4 of them, Hunter, Chase, Jackson, and Briggs, on. So I appreciate you guys taking the time to get on.
Yeah, man, we appreciate it. We're glad to be here and talk about some good hunting stories.
We're stoked.
Awesome. Well, maybe if you'll kind of like give our listeners a little bit of background about like who you are and I guess kind of like how you guys started hunting together, probably grew up together, obviously brothers, but like probably the last like 3 or 4 years at least that I've seen, you guys like have really turned it on and started killing some big, big deer.
Yeah, man. It's been awesome. So yeah, we're obviously all brothers, and we're fortunate to be born super close to each other in age. So Hunter's the oldest at 26, and then Briggs is the youngest at 21, so we're all stacked in there. Her parents definitely got after it, so, but, yeah, our dad, super fortunate to have a good dad that got us into the outdoors early. He bought us all BB guns when we turned 1 year old, to start teaching us gun safety and gun control. So he would take us rabbit hunting and didn't even have BBs in it, but just to kind of get the feel for gun safety. And so yeah, started out rabbit hunting and led to duck hunting. And then we all started hunting big game at the age of 12.
It was funny with the rabbits. We didn't have the BBs in it, but he would want us to shoot at it. And he would try to shoot his shotgun right when we'd shoot our BB gun and make it seem like we're the ones who got it or something. But just mainly to teach us muzzle control and everything right out of the beginning. So
yeah, I think that was, I'm pretty sure for all of us, that was our earliest memories of just out there hunting. Like, I know a lot of guys nowadays struggle with getting their kids into hunting, but our dad always just tells them just to take them out, just to get them introduced to it. And yeah, like Jax was saying, I led into duck hunting, and right away my pops and his buddies, they all had 4 bird dogs, and we'd be trugging through the snow, being their bird dogs, running them down. So
tackling each other, trying to get the bird first.
Bird one.
So fun. That's so cool, because I feel like you see a lot of like these hunter families, and it seems like one kid like really takes to it, or like maybe one or two, and then the other just don't want anything to do with it. So it's pretty cool that all four of you are so into it and obviously like pretty dang good at it too. Like, that makes it pretty fun.
Yeah, makes it good having in built-in hunting partners that for out-of-state hunts, there's usually at least one of us that can go out and help. And the one nice thing is kind of like what one of us draws, we all do, which is fun. So we're all – this is Jackson speaking, but my brothers gave up a lot of hunting time to come help me for my hunt. So it's awesome just being able to have to help them.
Yeah, definitely a team play, which is fun. But it's also nice, too, with brothers, like we don't care about, like – well, like if it's my honey hole, it's all of our honey hole. So it's nice to that we hunt together because we can just run and gun everywhere.
Yeah, I bet that kind of that's pretty nice too, because it's like you don't really have to worry like you would even a good buddy. You're almost like man, like what other friends do you have that like take you here and stuff. Like kind of nice. I mean, maybe that's kind of part of your secret. It seems like you guys are more consistent than anyone else these last few years. So I'm kind of excited to talk like tactics and stuff with you guys too and hear these stories. But one thing I was going to ask you, like application wise, like how do you guys like kind of plan it out together? Is like, okay, we'll do like the muzzleloader hunt and the other two do second rifle, or like I'm just kind of curious the dynamic of that.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Jackson's our guy for that.
Yeah,
he takes care of that.
Yeah, I'm I love everything about the application strategies. I'm a nut about researching and doing all that. So usually just we kind of think before the application season starts of any guaranteed tags that we can pull, and we try not to overlap hunts. If we can, we like to at least just have two tags, if we're going out of
like
state.
Like two tags each or two tags, like, for each hunt?
Sorry, for each, if we're going out of state, try to have two tags in a unit.
Oh, yeah, okay.
For example, we'll get into these hunts later, but me and Chase drew our Colorado muzzleloader hunt together, so we were able to go to Colorado and hunt together, so we had two tags there.
Yeah,
we've done some other elk hunts and different stuff in Arizona where we try to keep it all together if we can, or at least have two of us hunting at the same time, which is nice.
Yeah, but I mean, it always doesn't end up like that. A lot of times we have hunts stacked back to back to back. But I know one kind of funny thing, we hear rumors that, I don't know if it's just because we wear Kuyu or not, but people think we're only hunting private land and stuff. But yeah, all the bucks this year were public land, DIY, all draw tags. Or over the counter.
That's so impressive. Especially, like, it's one thing to, like, be as consistent as you are, but, like, you guys are consistent on, like, quality bucks. Like, that. It's just, it's insane. I feel like every time I look at my Instagram this year, I'm like, oh, my gosh, there's another one. It's kind of crazy, but that's cool. Maybe let's just get right into it. I mean, you guys killed 4, 5, 6, 7, like eight, you guys just together killed 8 different bucks this year, right in there. But maybe we'll just kind of start with archery season and kind of go down the line and kind of talk about each buck and, maybe just like what that hunt and stuff taught you. And I think it'll be fun to hear the story. So I think the first one was, the first one this year was Jackson's archery buck. He killed another big buck. It seemed like he was on a roll last year too, but maybe we can kind of go into that hunt if that's okay, Jackson.
Yeah, I'm do it. Yeah, so I got a little bit lucky in this tag. I was about 5 years out from being guaranteed. It was an out-of-state hunt, early archery. And I knew I wanted to get, never been to this unit, so I wanted to get up there at least once before to scout. And it was kind of a crazy summer. I got married in July, but I did marry a good woman. The first 5 weekends after being home, I was gone every weekend hunting or scouting. But,
that's cool.
Yep.
They're still together.
Yeah, we're still together.
She made it. First season, huh?
She made it. So, but yeah, I knew. With a crazy summer, I was only able to make it out to scout once. I went the weekend before the hunt. I love scouting, but one thing that sometimes drives me crazy, I hate playing the guessing game in the late June, early July when bucks still got a lot of time to grow. So yeah. I got one chance. I'm going to go close as I can to the hunt, get a good feel for the bucks that are kicking around. And I was a solo trip and only had 2 days to scout, but main thing was just getting a lay of the ground, so lay of the land. So I covered a lot of country, didn't see any big bucks, but I'd called like the biologist and tried to talk to people that had been in the unit to kind of get a feel for what would be a shooter buck, something that wouldn't be stupid to pass. And so my goal going in was, the biologist was like, if you see a 4 point over 160, you should probably go after it. But he's like, there's usually a couple 180 type bucks killed every year in this particular unit. So yeah, didn't see any shooters in the scouting, but all in week, all my brothers were nice enough to come down and help me. So we rolled out on a Friday, cut down at like midnight or 1 o'clock into the unit. And then, yeah, it was game time come early morning, and I knew where I'd want to be, where I'd seen the most deer. And I forgot to mention, in the scouting trip, I did see from a couple miles out of what looked like a big frame buck, but couldn't get a good look. It was right at last light. So that's where I wanted to start the next morning, see if we could turn him up. And right at first light, I mean, we're looking at lots of elk, kind of getting distracted, looking at a lot of sweet bulls, but not seeing much for deer. We'd seen a couple little bucks on the hill and watched them, didn't see anything big. And we were just about to move spots. We'd been glassing at this knob that we could see a lot of country for probably an hour and a half. And I was like, I'm going to check back where these couple little bucks were. And sure enough, a bigger buck had came up over the ridge, probably a 165 type, typical four. So just a solid deer. And then we're watching that. And then next thing we know, another solid buck comes over, probably mid-70s buck. So I wanted to try to shoot this buck. Knew it was a shooter. Yeah, so we tried to make a quick play on it, but it fed up over the top into some thick pines. Didn't really have a play. We went up around to where we could try to see into the pines, see if we can see embedded. No luck, but the plan was to come back and hunt on tonight. Be waiting for him as he comes out of the timber and be in position. But I happened to look down the canyon, this gnarly draw, and the sun glare was bad and it was pretty smoky where we were at. But I saw a giant body deer hurrying through on the scope and could see a big frame. And we never got a great look at him, but we all saw 4 points on the one side for sure, but just super tall. And we were only able to watch him for a few minutes when he bedded down. And so kind of had a pickle, had this other big buck that we just watched bed in a little group of pines. That was a shooter. But this buck put itself in a perfect spot to be killed. And, I mean, when big bucks mess up and put them in a vulnerable spot, in this vulnerable spot, you got to take advantage of it. So, even though I didn't know what that buck was, I'm like, it's probably now a mile and a half hike in. I was like, I'm going to get in position and at least be ready if he is a shooter. So all my brothers stayed back on the glass while I looped in and, yeah, had a perfect play. I was able to sneak down into a group of cliffs. That was 50 yards from the buck. So when I got down in, it took me a second to see him. But I could just see one tine sticking up. And he was with one of the little bucks. I mean, it was either him or that deer bedded under this tree. So I got in a good spot to where if he stood up, long as he didn't go straight away, if he went any other direction, I'd have a chance. So I was just praying the wind would hold out, a good consistent wind coming perfect right in my face. And from there, the waiting game began. And last year, I sat on a buck for about 9 hours. So I thought it was going to be another just
that was a big 200-inch buck.
Yeah, last year about killed me sitting in the sun. Yeah, for sure. So luckily I had a little bit of shade, but was getting ready to sit it out long, and after about 2 hours, the buck finally stood up and he started feeding around. I could just see the roll of the hill was just barely too much for me to get a clear shot, but I could see his full frame. And by this time I could, yeah, finally tell he was a shooter. Super tall, heavy, got the inline. Yeah, he was just feeding on the tree he was bedded under and ended up kicking out of bed and bedding right back down within a couple minutes. Could still see his antlers again, but yeah, couldn't capitalize on that. So was ready for another long sit, but he only was probably bedded for about 45 minutes, thankfully, and got up and came out perfect to where I'd been ranging all around me. Yeah, and he came out perfect, came walking out right in the sun, came in another little feeder that I figured he'd probably go to bed.
Yeah, me and all the boys were back across the canyon watching all this go down, and, I mean, as soon as he rebedded, we're like, oh, crap, he's got shade for a long time. We're like, we're going to be here all day.
We're already making plans. Like, Hunter, we'll stay on the glass. You go back to camp and get food and water for us. We can sit here all day.
That's what you're always thinking about food. But, yeah, I mean, everybody knows the feeling when you're sitting across from your buddy, your brother, whoever, and you see the buck start working perfectly. It's pretty tense. Everybody starts shaking, getting buck fever. Like, that's a good feeling.
Yeah, you're like, oh, this actually might work out.
And in the meantime, these guys actually, there was a hunter that we'd seen kind of hiking out of the area before I went in, and he's listening to this. He's a super good dude, but he only had 10x42 binoculars on the hunt, so definitely if you hunt out west, bring the spot scope, because this one kind of bit him in the butt. He had seen this buck that I killed that morning, but from like 400 yards out, he's like, I could not put 4 points on him. He thought he was just a big 3 point. And so this dude hiked out. Yeah, but he ended up meeting up with my brothers.
He comes strolling up on us, and really nice guy. He's just like, he was super confident that he didn't see four. He's like, yeah, that little 3 point down there, your brother's sitting on. I'm like, I'm pretty sure it's a four on the one side. Like, it's a good buck.
But yeah, he was just super, super confident that it was a 3 point. But watching in the spotting scouts, we're like, no, we know for sure it's a four on one.
Yeah,
he's got the inline on the other.
Yep. So these guys the whole time didn't even know what the buck was, and I tried to be pretty vague until we walked up on it because he definitely grew a little bit. But anyways, he comes out in the sun, gives me a 51 yard quartering two shot. Pretty tough shot to make. Actually, he came out to 40, like 43 at the first, and I actually choked. Most easy shot of my life. Shot right in front of him.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I know what got to me. I usually can make it happen, but I just completely dropped the ball on that one. But thankfully, he had no idea where I was, and I was in a nice shaded spot with rocks to my back. I wasn't skyline or anything, so he had no idea what happened. So yeah, he ran down to 51, gave me that quarter and two shot, and yeah, I was able to sneak it right in, saw it blow out the back end of him. He went about 30 yards and tipped over right in my sight. So
no way. So
yeah,
what's that like when you guys all kind of like see a deer go down together? Like, that's got to be pretty cool.
Well, for us, we saw him shoot, and we saw when he missed, and we're like, oh, crap, and then it stopped, and then we saw him shoot again, and I knew it hit him. I could see it hit him, but then from our view, when the buck started running down, it went low enough to where from our view we couldn't see him, so he went out of our view maybe 10 yards is all, and then tipped over, but we didn't see him tip over, so we're all, like, kind of stressing, like, did he get him good, did he not? And then a little while later, Jackson called and he's like, big buck down. So we all started going crazy, but
yeah.
that had us going crazy for a minute. So
yeah, I definitely, and I got lucky getting that second chance. I got the nerves out after the first one. And yeah, but couldn't have asked for anything better, seeing him tip over right there. And like they said, I called him and was like, hustle down. It was a hot day. It was about 1 o'clock at this point. So middle of the day. In August, so knew we need to take care of him quick. But I I'm sitting there, and I have no idea that this guy joined up with him, but I see my brothers hiking down off the hill, and I was going to wait for him to walk up to the bus. But then I see four guys hiking down, so I'm like, what in the world? So, yeah, this is when I called down, and the dude's like, I got nothing better to do. I want to come down and see the bus. So.
he probably didn't believe us, probably still thought it was a three-pointer.
Yeah.
So he's like, I got to see this for myself.
And I'm glad he passed up the buck, but you could see in his face when I picked up his antler. She's like, what did I do?
I bet.
Yeah.
He's like, how on earth did I just take this for a three-point?
Yeah.
He was just kicking himself in the dirt. Because he watched that buck earlier in the morning for about an hour, hour and a half, and could have made a play on them, but he never did because he didn't think it was bigger than just a three-point. But, yeah, he was pretty sick when he saw how big it was.
Yeah.
I bet when you picked it up, he's like, oh.
But it was a perfect morning, opening day. Made it happen in the buck. Yeah, he definitely.
That was the first day of the season, and we were already done.
Yeah, tagged out by 1 o'clock in the first day. So,
jeez, that's the way to do it. So that's kind of what started out the almost like the dream season, you would call it.
Yeah.
So
yep, that's what kicked it off.
You were feeling lucky.
Opening day, opening afternoon, and then so then was your dad had a tag for that same hunt, or was his even a different area?
So his was back here in Utah. He had a tag. And we all just happened to like luck out with work and our schedules and stuff, and we decided with the general season hunt that we would miss the first week and all go down to help him on that hunt. So that was super fun. We were able to all be a part of that hunt when he got his good buck down there.
I think it was the first time in how many years? 8 years that we were all together for my dad to kill buck with all of us with him. So it was a pretty special hunt to be on.
That's pretty cool.
He always puts us first, and there's usually one of us missing on the hunt or whatnot. But yeah, super special, all of us there, and he shot a stud buck. So
yeah, it was cool too because we weren't just like we all got to see him shoot it all right by each other. So super cool. And this buck was giving us a run for its money, and we saw him a couple times and just couldn't ever. He was a super smart old buck, and so just the way he'd position himself, the wind was always tough, cover was tough to get on him, and then finally one afternoon we were going to sneak in on one side, and while we were heading over to that spot, he happened to move over, and we ran into him on our way over and were able to get it done, so it was super cool.
Oh, no way. And all of you were right there together.
Yeah, I've watched him stick it, so.
That's sweet. So, a couple things I just wanted to talk about real quick. I think Jackson gave some good advice on those archery hunts, because I know I've done it before. Like, I almost start scouting too early, and more often than not, when I scout too early, I think the bucks are smaller than they are. Like I've kind of written off some bucks in the past, and then even like come back during the season, I'm like, oh, I should have watched that buck better. Like he finished way better than I thought he would have. So I think that's some good advice to scout closer to when your season is for those early archery hunts.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, you never know. Some bucks you think they're going to be huge, and then they kind of flake out. And yeah, some just wait until last second and just explode. So
I've seen bucks put on like, man, I swear like 30 inches in a few weeks or so, like right before the season, and like I didn't even hunt them, and then I see them or someone else kills them, like I can't believe that's the same deer. Like I didn't even think about hunting that deer, and he's giant, you know. Like
yeah,
but
and I guess one other quick takeaway from that hunt was I already had a shooter found, so it was kind of ballsy in a way to go sit on this other buck that had no idea what it was. And then waste energy to get in there, and who knows, maybe the wind would have switched, but just when it's rare that big bucks, kind of put them in a spot where they're killable like that. So
I decided to take the chance, and it worked out perfect.
That's something that I feel like we all kind of do is whenever we see a window open for any kind of opportunity to go after a big buck, whether it's bedded in a good position or even just when it's out feeding, even if it's a long shot in the dark, some people might be like, he'll probably feed over the hill before I get over there in time or whatever it may be, and kind of make excuses to put themselves into not trying to go for it. And I feel like something that's where we found a lot of success is, you know, you're not going to kill it sitting back just watching it. And so we always just give it a go. If there's any somewhat good position, we'll give it a go. But obviously, if it's a position where it could blow them out or something, we also like to kind of balance that of when to be patient and wait till the wind switches, or if we need to hunt them at night instead of the morning or whatever it is. But yeah, that's something that's been good for us. That's worked out.
Yeah, that's some really good advice, because I feel like, I've been guilty of that too. Like, I get a little lazy sometimes. I'm like, oh, there's no way. Like, that's not even worth it. But then, like, when you talk yourself into it, like, a lot of times those are the ones that will work out or I guess you make it happen those times.
So yeah.
I think that's some good advice, especially archery hunting.
Yeah, we all know that saying, patience kills big deer, which we all believe in 100%, but when it's time to be aggressive, I definitely think we're probably leaning towards the more aggressive side.
Yeah. No, that's good advice. So then the next hunt, Chase and Briggs had a muzzleloader hunt, right?
Yeah. So me and Briggs, we drew this muzzleloader hunt, another out of state. We have never hunted in this unit. We just were, honestly, when we were putting in, it was one of those things where we were just trying to find something that had good draw odds so we could just have another tag in our pockets. So me and him lucked out, drew this, and this was my first time. This was actually the first buck I ever shot with a gun outside of a bow. And so, I've only hunted muzzleloader one other time, but didn't get a buck that time. So it was fun getting ready for this hunt. Got a new muzzleloader, got it all sighted in, and anyway, just getting ready for that. So we did a lot of just e-scouting, prepping. We never had time to make it down to do any preseason scouting here. And so we just Onyx hunt, Google Earth, and just checking everything there to see what the terrain kind of looks like and where we kind of want to drive into and check out.
What are you looking for, like, when you're looking at those maps? Like, are you looking for burns, springs, or just kind of trying to get a feel of certain areas?
Yeah, we like to... I'll look for burns. One thing that we love to do is we try to get away from where people are. So wherever we find good places that we can get away from road areas, where it's roadless, that we can hike into, or any good vantage points. We always like to find good vantage points where it looks like we have a good spot that we can look to where deer might feed and then where they might go bed, which obviously it's kind of tough. Gives us a good place to start, but when we got out there to this unit, even though I did a lot of scouting, e-scouting, when I got out there, it just looked way different than what I thought. And so luckily we got out there for one day to scout before the hunt, and it was just me and Briggs at the time before some of my other brothers and my dad came out to help, but got out there, just started covering ground the first morning. We always like to get a feel for the unit, see where we're seeing the most deer. So we'll see some deer, figure out what they are, and then keep moving pretty quick. And later in the morning, right when we were about to call it a day, me and Briggs come over this hill, pull up the binos and look out there, and I see just this huge frame looking at us. So we get up a little closer, and there was two really good bucks up on this hillside that we watched go up and over the top. So that kind of gave us a good idea for day one, what we kind of wanted to do. We, of course, you know how opening mornings go. We go to bed and wake up to just, it's like a highway. There's just hunters that came in and there's people everywhere. It's just crazy. And so
it's like one of the worst I've ever seen it.
Yeah.
Really?
Not good.
That's pretty bad.
It was wild. So, anyways, we're like, oh, crap, like, we'll see how it goes. But our plan was to go in first morning and try to be at first light by that hillside that we saw those bucks. So if we see them there, we can make a move on them right away before other hunters got to them. So we get down there, first light, and couldn't find them anywhere. So we were a little discouraged because those were the only two good bucks we saw from the day before. So after we didn't see them there for a little while, we went and glassed some other areas, trying to find some good bucks, didn't see them or any other good ones. So we're heading back out and crossing back where that buck was again. And sure enough, later in the morning, we turned them up on that hillside. So it's kind of a scramble because we saw there were some other people further up and we didn't want them to get to them before we did. So we heard and scrambled. There was two big bucks. One was a little bit bigger. They were both good ones, but Briggs, we kind of do it like whoever spots it gets the first pick at it. And so I originally spotted them. So I kind of had the first pick and I wanted to go for the bigger of the two, but we only saw the smaller of the two. And so I told Briggs, my brother, he was with me. I'm like, you can go for this one if you want. I'm going to wait to see if I can. We didn't see the bigger one. I'm like, I'll wait to see if we can get that bigger one. So we got Briggs on the gun.
He says big, like the biggest bucks. He's pushing 190 probably.
Yeah. So,
okay.
I mean, what I was going to get to it. Like, so it's kind of a crazy story, but I ended up shooting the smaller of the two. And that one went 180. Okay. And so the other one with them was
a nasty buck too.
Yeah,
like just picture the cheater.
Yeah. Pictures didn't do him justice, but he was a stud. So super cool buck, but yeah. So the one with him, we were guessing 190s, maybe could go more. He huge 4-point frame with a giant inline on one side, just a stud buck. So,
jeez.
Yeah, crazy. And so Briggs, we got in, and it's all open iron sight, so it was a super far shot that we were going to take, but we felt confident, got him laid down, and then right when we're about to shoot, those other hunters kind of came around and kind of bumped him, and so he started bumping out of there, and you know, with the big bucks, lots of times you only get one shot with pressure, and then you never see him again, so we took that shot, and
like, 215?
Yeah, it was like 215 and then, or 200, but Briggs accidentally, I mean, you can tell.
Yeah.
So, this is Briggs. I learned a lot on this hunt. Like, I mean, it was a grind. Like, this hunt had me by the cojones, dragging me through the mud the whole time. Like, it was just an absolute grind.
9 days.
But, so this kind of kicked off the kick in the nuts. So we had this buck. It was kind of just like, they were kind of bumping up this hill, so it was just a quick thing. I hurried through up. I felt steady, felt perfect, and I shot. And as soon as I pulled the trigger, I realized I was on the 100-yard crosshair.
Oh,
and it just, as soon as I shot, I realized it, and I just felt sick. So missed that buck, saw those two run up over the hill, and it just, but yeah. I mean, I'm sure most of the people listening can relate to that feeling of missing a buck and just feeling sick to the stomach, but. Especially one right when you pull the trigger, you know that you just messed up. It's a pretty sickening feeling.
Yeah, it's even worse when it's like you did pretty much everything right. You were solid and everything, just accidentally put the wrong.
Yeah, exactly. So, and then right when he shot.
It also makes it rough with all of us boys because, like, right after we're always like, oh, dude, like, that sucks. But then, like, you give it, like, a day and then it's. Yeah, and then all the jokes come.
that's one thing with being brothers is we love each other and support each other, but we also give each other the most crap. And so if you make a dumb mistake, it doesn't get let down easy.
So is that the video you guys posted on your Instagram? The muzzle loader, I think he's trying to reload it.
Briggs fumbling it.
So
that was later. Later not, but yeah, he was his head bug fever going.
We'll get to that one here in a second.
Yeah, it was a long hunt for him. So Anyways, to make the story a little bit shorter, since we've got a lot of deer to go through, with this hunt, I just kind of told myself mentally, real quick, I guess when he missed, we saw the bigger buck. He wasn't too far, but he was just bedded down. We couldn't see him, and they bumped out of there. But I decided at that point, those bucks, and from what we were seeing with all the other deer, I'm like, I'm just going to stick to these two deer. If it costs me the hunt, I don't see them the rest of the hunt, then it's whatever, but I'm just sticking to these two bucks and going to hunt them the rest of the time. And so what I actually did is kind of where we saw them feeding the last two mornings, I went in there and just made a man shift blind where the wind was good, and just hoping, because where they were set up, there wasn't much places to sneak in much closer to them, and where they'd position themselves, if we got on top, wind was always pushing up and stuff. So made a little blind and just decided I was going to hunt them every morning and night and see if it can make it happen. And it was the third morning of the hunt. We didn't see him that night or the day after at all. And then the third morning, I was like, I'm still just going to go sit that blind. And Briggs actually came with me just in case that the both bucks came out. So we got set up, and that was a big takeaway that I learned from this hunt too, is whenever you're in a position where you might have an opportunity, have everything 100% ready, just because some things happen really fast. So we were sitting in there, just kind of waiting. It was, the sun was up, hit the hillside. It's probably 2 hours of sitting there and not seeing anything at all. And then out of nowhere, Briggs is like, oh, right there, there's a buck. We look up there, and I just see this big frame. And like I said earlier, if Briggs was with me, I was going to have him shoot the smaller one, and I'd shoot the bigger one. Well, in the heat of the moment, I thought it was the bigger one. And Briggs was like, you want to shoot it, or do you want me? And I'm like, I'll shoot it. And so, like, I thought it was the big one, even though they're both big. So I was happy no matter what. But it just happened so fast. I don't know if something bumped him or whatnot, but he came over that hill that he was always been feeding on and just started pretty much running out of there. And luckily we had the gun set up on like a tripod. And so Briggs, I got on him and was watching him, and then Briggs had him in his binos just ready to give me a range once he stopped. He finally came out and stopped perfect, just over 100 yards, and made a perfect shot, and he just dumped right there. So it was super cool. Having Briggs right there. But yeah, it just happened so fast from the time we saw him to shooting maybe 15 seconds. And if we weren't set up on the tripod or anything, he probably would have got away because it was super thick stuff. So it was super cool. And yeah, I thought it was like the 190 buck. And then Briggs told me that it was the other one. I'm like, are you sure? And he's like, yeah. And so, I mean, I didn't care. Once I walked up there and saw how big he was, I was freaking stoked out of my mind.
He's a big, big deer. It's like super heavy. Looks like bladed cheaters. Like,
yeah.
I can't even imagine the other buck he was with to make you like not think about shooting that one.
I know. And I think that's the only reason why, like, just seeing how big that other one was, because if this one was alone, it's obviously a no-brainer to shoot it. It was, especially for just a general season unit. But yeah, super bladed out. He had a kicker on the one side that it split on the kicker.
25-inch beams.
Yeah. So.
And this whole time, like, I haven't seen the buck, and they've been telling me about him. I've been out glassing other places, but when we walk up on it, this whole time they just had me thinking it was a good buck. So I'm like, okay, get up there, freaking flawless. What are you guys doing?
And meanwhile, so Hunter chases. And Briggs are all hunting together, and I couldn't make the trip. So I'm just freaking losing my mind at home, waiting for updates and whatnot.
I was
so stoked when I got the call. He made it happen.
Yeah. Yeah, especially when they're like, oh, we shot the smaller buck. Like, I can't even imagine.
Yeah, because that's all they would hear. Yeah, we got the smaller buck of the two, and then – but once they saw it, it's definitely not a small buck. So,
Oh, it's
funny.
So then, Briggs ended up killing two, didn't he? Right.
Yes, sir. So, yep. So this Colorado hunt, that was day three.
Which is Monday.
We hunted an 8-day hunt. Yeah. And I mean,
I won't go into the details, but the whole week was just an absolute grind. There wasn't a whole lot of deer we were seeing. We'd see a couple decent bucks, but just no shooters. And
that was, what, 3 days after looking for the jacket?
Yeah, so the 3 days after that, I sat that blind to see if that other buck would come back. And just, I wanted to kill that big buck so bad, but he just never ended up showing up. So a lot of times those big bucks, you know how they do, they just disappear and you can't lay eyes on them again. So after 3 days of sitting there, decided to just try to cover ground and try to find another buck. So we covered ground for a few days, saw a couple decent bucks, but just nothing big enough to shoot. So it was kind of winding down. Friday and Saturday picked up a little bit. We saw a couple decent bucks. Jackson and my dad actually drove down for Saturday, or for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And so we hunted those that weekend. It was still just a grind. I mean, we were trying all we could do. There was a ton of people out, so we were fighting people.
General season elk hunters. So.
Yeah, lots of general season elk hunters.
Yeah.
And so.
So just people everywhere.
Yeah, people everywhere. And
rush hour traffic.
We had a couple of days that were just completely socked in, raining like crazy. So Sunday is the last day to hunt, and we were going to hunt Sunday morning and then roll out to make the trip home so we could get back to work on Monday. And I don't know what it is, but there's something with me and last day bucks and or just last day animals. I always seem to wait till the last day, stress my whole life away for the whole week, for the whole hunt, and then get it done. So we go out, and I'm not going to lie, I was so down. I was just, what's that
say? I was just going to say that the night before, I was separate from them and saw a really good buck. I was just going to have Briggs tell that part of how you got to your buck.
Oh, yeah. So Chase was out, and he spotted up a good buck. So it was too late for us to head over there and get a stock on it. So we figured in the morning we would bust over there where Chase saw that buck and try to see if we could turn it up. So that morning, of course, we wake up and it's just socked in. We could see 50 yards. So we were like, crap, this is how this hunt's, how this hunt's been going. So we waited it out for a little bit. We just figured
we still went out
and figured hopefully it'd lift and we'd be in that same area when the fog lifted. So sure enough, we get in the area and it was pretty perfect. We went down, still couldn't see, and then like a light switch, that fog lifted. And within 10 minutes of that fog lifting, we spotted that buck that Chase saw. And I mean, it just, you know, fast stuff happens. Like, it went from 0 to 100. There it is. Get the gun on it and shot. It was about 115 yards and it was just super quick. I just had some sticks, threw it up, shot, and he reared back like a horse. Like, he reared back on his back legs and then he took off, and I know I smacked him. The boys were looking at their binos and they said I drilled him. So it was pretty freaking sweet.
Yeah. I couldn't tell where, but there was a good hit. And that's when that clip you saw on Instagram comes into play, when he's trying to load the gun, dropping bullets. And
I was shaking so bad. I couldn't get all the crap out of my pockets. I'm just fumbling with everything. So, no, it was cool. I mean, the moments, I don't know. That's hunting, the moments where you just go through the grind and then all of a sudden it happens. And I think one of the biggest things I learned with that buck is just patience and just continuing to grind. I mean, there's, like, throughout hunting with my brothers and stuff, it's been really good to have them, because a lot of times I'll just get down on myself, like, golly, this is not going to happen with all this stuff going on. Like, every time we go after bucks, something happens. And I know everybody listening, you know, feels the same way, but it's good to have people around you to keep your hopes up. I mean, these boys every day would tell me, we're going to get it done, we're going to get it done. And I was like, yeah, okay, like, we'll see. But it just, I mean, it happened last morning, last second, and I was super stoked with the buck, so.
Dang, that's cool. That's a good trip. And then, so then you kill that buck, and then you kill an absolute giant.
Yeah, so.
The next time.
Yes, sir. So, so I killed that buck, and then the week after that, I had this hunt to go to, and I was super stoked for this hunt. I told myself before, like, this is going to be my chance. I just had a feeling this was going to be my chance to kill Giant. And so went into this unit again blind, like we've never been to this state. We've never been to this unit. And we did some e-scouting, and, I mean, we kind of touched on it before, but we found a really good burn to hit. And so we figured we'd try that out first. So we roll up, and opening morning, it was just – it was perfect. I mean, really good country, nasty country. So we figured there'd be less people in the nasty stuff. So we were all super stoked. We got out there, glassed a couple decent bucks in the morning. And then that evening, I, on Onyx, I picked out a good glassing knob that I hiked to. So I went to this glassing knob, and I sat there, and then the other two boys kind of covered more ground for that night. Well, that evening, I picked up a buck, probably a 160 buck. It was a sweet buck. And he was just strolling by himself. So I kept tabs on him throughout the night. And right at last light, I just figured I'd check him one more time to see if anything joined up with him. And sure enough, it was super dark and he was far away. So I just could see a butt with him. I'm like, no way, there's another buck. And so I just tried my best to focus in on him. And I could just tell it out of frame that was big. And that's it. And so figured, okay, that could be a shooter, big frame. So our plan was to get back in the morning right at that knob and see if we glass that same buck up and get better eyes on him. So morning rolls around, and me and my brothers, we all get up to that knob, and the sun cracks, and sure enough, they're 100 yards from where they were that night, and they roll out, and we're all just, I mean, it's super, we spot them right at first light. And as soon as it gets light enough to see, we could just tell the frame was big. And I got one decent look at him. Like, okay, yeah, that's a shooter. We're going. So,
yeah. Meanwhile, I'm sitting at home. I couldn't make this trip either, which killed me. But I'm texting for updates, and Hunter was the one glassing for him. And I'm like, did you see him? And Hunter's like, yeah. And he's like, he's a giant. 180. And then I get a text a minute or two later. Okay, no, he's probably 190. Maybe he's even bigger. So I'm just,
I was freaking out. Like, I had to get my jitters out. Like, he's 190.
Giant, typical.
Yeah. So going into it, for me, I didn't know how big he was. I just knew he was a shooter because I could see his frame and I just saw a glimpse of his tines. I'm like, okay, that's a shooter. So me and Chase bail in after him. And I think the biggest thing for me on this hunt is just patience again. Like, being super particular with where we go in and pay attention to all the little details. So me and Chase, first we go in, and these bucks are kind of moving up and to kind of this balder face. And then there's a big patch of pines, down the draw where they're kind of headed. So we're like, by this time it was probably 9 or so. So we figured they were going to move off into those pines to bed. So we try to make a play up on them. And it was just super thick, and the wind was swirling and switching, going down towards them. So we're like, okay, let's back out. Let's roll all the way around this other side and try to come in on them at a different angle. And glad Chase was there because I was just kind of getting antsy. I'm just like, let's go in. I have a gun. Like, let's just go kill this thing. But glad we played it smart. And so we backed out. We went around this whole other edge. It took us about an hour to get around there. So we're coming in on them, and we know we're getting close, so we take our boots off. We don't know exactly where they are, and so we just are creeping down this ridge. We're probably 100 yards from our boots, and we're just taking it nice and slow. We don't know exactly where they're headed, but we're trying to cut them off from them headed to these pines.
And that was just our best guess, because it was pretty warm, and there was not, even though it was like thick shrub, there was not a lot of shade other than those pines. So we're like assuming they're going to go in those pines. We were working down the spine, knew at some point they were going to cross down in front of us.
Yeah. So,
okay.
So we're working down this ridge and I've got my eyes down looking at where I'm stepping, trying not to step on thorns and what else. And Chase, I just hear Chase go, there he is, shoot him. And so I look up straight down below us. Yes, I could just see the frame of him. And he's looking right at us. And there's a couple other deer looking at us, too. And they just have us pinned. So I knew how to act quick. Because I guess I'm at 80 yards. And he was somewhere between 60 and 80 yards. And so I just pulled up. And it kind of sucked because I could see his frame and his neck, but his body was covered by some brush. And so I took his neck and I just went center mass and shot. And, I mean, it was probably 7 seconds from when Chase said, there he is, to pulling up and shooting. And so I shot. It was quick.
You probably said this, but is this a muzzleloader hunt?
Yes, sir. Sorry, I should have clarified that. Yeah, so this is a muzzleloader hunt as well.
Okay.
Yep. And it's,
Yep. Sorry to cut you off. This is crazy. This is a good story.
No. No, you're good. And this is open sights as well. So in this state, we couldn't use a scope or anything. So I pull up and I shoot, and I don't see it kick or anything. And as soon as I shot, I saw a glimpse of it run off, and it didn't look hurt at all. And so my first thing was just like, crap, I missed. Like, I was just like, oh gosh, I just missed that buck. And so I'm kind of getting down on myself right now. I'm like, crap, like, that was my one opportunity at this deer. Hunter, you can tell what he's going through in his mind.
Yeah, no, my story is completely different. I'm sitting up on the hill, and like he said, he didn't know how big it was. He just knew it was like a big buck. But then I was able to see, like, oh, frick, like, this is, like, a giant. And
yeah.
I'm just watching creep down on it, and he's moving towards his bedding area. And then I'm like, they're going to miss it. Like, they're not going to be able to see it. I'm just freaking out. And then I see Chase point, and then Briggs raise the gun, and then I hear the gunshot. But, yeah, from my view, like, it was like watching the Super Bowl. I was losing it.
I bet. I can't even imagine.
Yeah.
Probably like slow motion.
Yeah, it was totally different.
So, man, when you see him shoot, did you think he missed too?
No. So I thought he hit it. He ran across, and I couldn't see him. Like, he went into some thick stuff. And I couldn't tell if he just ran down into the bottom and then kept on going, or if he died in the thick stuff. I was assuming he was dead, but I wasn't sure.
Okay.
And then me and Briggs, I couldn't get a good look because when we were going down the ridge, I was in front of Briggs. So when I said, there he is, shoot, I just kind of plugged my ears and ducked so he could shoot over. And so I didn't get to see where he hit it or anything, but me and Briggs stood up on a big dead log and we're just kind of watching the deer. We saw some go up the other ridge. We never saw him, but we were just sitting there kind of just running things through our head and whatnot. And then after about 5 minutes of just kind of standing there, we hear all this like rumbling and like bushes and stuff down below us. So we thought, like, he was starting to run out, but then we never saw anything run out of there. So Briggs was still super discouraged. I was trying to pick him up a little bit. I'm like, dude, that could have been him just dying right there or something.
But, yeah.
Yeah. So I was like, yeah, whatever, Chase. Like, I don't know. He's going to get out of your head there.
Yeah, right when I would tell him, like, dude, I think that was him dying, he'd be like, dude, shut up. Don't tell me that. I was like, don't tell me that.
I think I had a little PTSD from Colorado still, so I was a little skeptical. But so we figured we'd go back up to our boots, lace up our boots, and then head down to see if we could try to find some blood where I shot. So we get up to our boots, and where I shot, we didn't have foam coverage, but where our boots were, we had some foam coverage. So we get there, and I'm lacing up my boots, and Chase gets a call from Hunter, and he picks up the phone, and I'm not thinking anything of it, but meanwhile, we didn't know that Hunter saw it, you know, get shot and run off into some brush and didn't come out. So he picks up the phone, and Hunter's like, dude, I'm 90% sure he's dead. And I just lost my mind. I went from, like, in the dirt to just cloud nine. I was like, no way. Like, I didn't know I hit him until that second. And Hunter's like, I'm pretty sure he's dead. I'm like, no way. I started flipping out. Hunter's like, he's a tank. And right there, I'm like, Hunter, don't tell me what he is. I'm like, I want to be surprised when I walk up on him. So we were super stoked. So we went out, went and got Hunter across the canyon. Meanwhile, we're hauling butt on the Ranger. People probably think we're in some, like, trophy truck race in a Ranger or something, wondering why we're going pedal to the metal.
Yeah.
So we go across, we grab Hunter, and we all start to bellow off into it. And so we get all blood right away, super good blog, just dumping. And so we go down, and of course, right where Hunter last saw him, I mean, 10 yards into this brush, just piled up right there. And he had his head, he kind of died in a cool way. He died against this big dead log. And at this point, I still was like going in thinking he's a good 170. And so I walked up on him, and I mean, we have a video of us walking up on him, and I just lost my mind. It looked like I saw a ghost. I was like, are you kidding me?
I would lose my mind too.
We'll have to send you the video. Yeah, the shock in his face is hilarious when he picked up his head for the first time.
His jaw just hit some face. Yeah, I was speechless. I mean, that's my biggest buck by far. And so walking up on that thing, that's like every guy's dream to walk up on a big mule deer like that. And so, right. I mean, when I picked it up, I was speechless. It was freaking awesome. There's no really feeling like it. I mean, a lot of people, you try to describe the feeling to people that don't hunt, like, and they don't get it. But I mean, the people that know that hunt.
A buck of that caliber, like, even people who do hunt, like, it's hard to explain, like, how special, like, it's exciting to shoot a good deer, but then, like, that next level deer, like that typical is, it's just, like, how is this buck even real? Like, it's crazy. I can't even imagine. Yeah. Did you guys, like, put a tape to it or anything?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, so we first taped it out at 194.
Yeah.
As just a straight typical.
And then I just took it in 3 days ago down to a dude that's after the drying period, the 60-day dry period. I just took him in to a dude that's registered to measure for Boone and Crockett. Uh-huh. And after the drying period, he went 193.5. And
gosh,
comparing the measurements, though, we were a half inch short on almost all our time measurements. So right after he would have been killed, if you take into account our mass and inside width measurement, but his time measurements, he would have been like 198 as soon as he hit the dirt. But yeah, just a stupid, stupid big buck.
That's insane. I mean, it's just like such a perfect looking deer too. Like just everything is long and perfect.
We would catch ourselves. It was getting pretty hot, but while we were like trying to take pictures and then cut up the meat randomly, we'd catch ourselves, just us three, just kind of sitting there not saying anything and just staring at the buck in awe. And then one of us would kind of have to snap out and like, okay, we got to keep moving. Like,
I have it in my room, just skull capped right now. And I just, every time I walk in there, I'm like, that thing's not even real. Like, it's just, it was awesome. And we have so much respect for these animals and what the country they live in. And it's just, I mean, it's incredible what these animals do. So it was awesome. We got in on them and then cut them up and packed out of there. And it was kind of funny the way, so Jackson, he's back at home. And I mean, whoever it is back at home, not on a hunt, we're just constantly sending us updates of what's going on. So we get back to camp. And I call him, like, dude, I killed a stud buck. I'm like, he's probably around 150, 160, like, pretty sweet buck. And I'm like, he's probably around the same caliber as my Colorado buck. Like, I'm stoked with him. And he's like, dude, nice work. Like, I'm like, dude, I'll send you a picture right now. So I sent him a picture, and he just loses his mind. He's like, are you freaking kidding me?
I was freaking out. I wish I could have climbed through the phone and been there. But,
yeah.
So,
I bet.
Yeah, so I think for me, a takeaway on that hunt was just playing the situation right when you find a buck. Like, a lot of times I'll get impatient and we find a buck and I'm just like, okay, let's go in at him. But playing the right call, looking at little small details, there's a lot of times where we just back out 20 yards and go a different way and pay attention to the wind and everything else. So,
yeah. I'd say definitely just going the extra mile, like going in on the stock with Briggs. Briggs didn't know this, but before we started hiking down, right when we parked the Ranger up on top and then we're going to make our stock in. And right before we started stocking in, Hunter sent me a text also saying that he thinks it's like a 190.
And Briggs didn't want to know, like, what he thought it was, so it wouldn't, like, freak him out too much. And so seeing that, I'm like, no way. So I'm like, I just knew we had to play the cards perfect. But I think, yeah, just going that extra mile with us having to back out and hike all the way around the other side and different stuff, it was just a lot of the energy. You get impatient. And a lot of times people won't go that extra mile of making sure it's perfect with the wind, your stalking situation, and everything. But all those little things come into play big time.
Yeah. No, that's some good advice. And I think that's like a common thing in a lot of these like guys who are killing big bucks. Like they're super meticulous and like will make sure they do everything the right way, even if it's the harder way. So I think that's some super good advice, and obviously it paid off big.
Yeah, we love to be aggressive, and then once we get closer to them, we like to take the more patient route and make sure we're just, even if it's a harder route, always take the more better route.
Yeah. Sweet. That's actually a sweet story. I still can't believe that. That's such a cool buck. So
that makes sense.
I mean, Jackson's been kind of stuck at home the last couple hunts, but now Jackson's up for his.
Yep. So I have an addiction. I have a very, very hard time of saying no to tags. I drew a really good tag out of the Western Hunt Expo, one of the $5 tags this year for a bull elk hunt here in Utah. So I had that coming up, but I mean, if it's first draw, second draw, any leftover chance, I'm always searching around, but picked up this tag, and it started 2 weeks before my late season rifle elk hunt started that drew. And
okay. So
it started 2 weeks before, ended the week before. I knew the week before that elk hunt, I for sure wanted to be out looking for bulls. I'd already been in this unit a couple times scouting, but wanted to make sure it's that big of a tag to get put in my time and effort before the hunt started. So anyways, I was only going to give it opening weekend, first 3 days, and I was going to head home. So I knew how to make quick work of this hunt. Hunter was nice enough to come down and help me out. So we booked it down. Thankfully, I was familiar with the country a little bit, so had a good game plan going in. We headed down Friday late after work, rolled in like our same old fashioned, like midnight, slept in the truck for the first night, and then was ready to get after it in the morning. And we had three different spots I wanted to go glass, three good vantage points that you can see the long distance. And so we go to the first one we wanted to be at, there's someone there. Second one, there's someone there. Third one, which hardly we see anybody there, there's someone there. So it started out a little rough at the start. All the spots I wanted to be at were taken, but hey, that's on us for not being out even earlier in the morning, well before light. So learn that for the future. But we still had some other spots we could go check, so started covering ground a little bit. Was seeing deer, mostly just does, a couple little bucks, and it got to about 9:30. It's late October, it's a rifle hunt, so kind of a tough time of the year to be hunting bucks, especially, I mean, you usually get first 30 minutes of light, last 30 minutes. But it was probably 10 o'clock in the morning, and with it being such a short hunt, we were going to hit it all day long. And so we circled back to see if anybody had left out of the spots that we wanted to be at, and we happened to see one of the guys coming out of there. So we backtracked in there, got on one of the spots, and I had a chair I was going to set up my tripod and put my binos on. But there was one hillside I knew as soon as I'd sit down that I wouldn't be able to see. So I'm like, okay, I'll just throw the tripod up just standing for a second, hit that. And right off the bat, about 2 miles away, I can see a group of deer on this hill. So I hurried to throw the spotter on, and back so I heard a group of bucks. And I just see instantly this one with a big wide frame, and I instantly just see a big cheetah kicking out the one side. Never got a great look. It looked big frame. It didn't look like it had super deep forks, but the cheetah looked like a buck I'd be happy with. I was telling these guys that anything that just got me excited, I would shoot. So they're working over
they're on an open hillside in the sun, but they're moving pretty quick. Where we're going to lose sight. They're about to drop into some, up over into some pines. So was able to watch it for about 3 minutes. Sure enough, went right in the pines. I knew they'd probably bed there for the day. And we'd have, as long as no one else messed with them, I knew we'd have really good play with them come the evening. So me and Hunter, we got in the Ranger, drove the closest road, and then hiked down in to just kind of get a lay of the land on things and see exactly where we needed to be to shoot. And that's just something that really paid off, just taking the time to get in there. We found a rock that was about 700 yards, and then we figured we could probably get about 200 yards closer. That was our plan, at least to come in by the night and be set up at about 500 if they fed out in that same open hillside. So at this point, at about 11:30, I was just praying no one else saw him and wasn't going to go in the pines and bust him out. So we book it down, get our camp set up. Like I said, the previous night, we were tired, so we just slept in the truck. And then it was about, I don't know, 2:30. We headed out. Our plan was to be set up around 3:30, ready to go and set it out till dark right there and just hope those bucks would feed out on the same hillside. And so we get in there and we start working down, and right before we come to this big clearing to get down to close the distance. So we're about 750 yards at this point. And like I said, we're just about to come to the open. So I was like, let's hurry and glass this hillside just in case they came out early before we spook anything. And happened to pick up the buck. They're up early. Like I said, it's about 3:30. So I'm going to throw the scope, turn off, see the shooters in there with them. So we were planning to get down about 500 yards, but we ended up just creeping about 50 yards to the same exact rock that we had went to that morning. And said we wanted to be, threw down the pack, got the gun set up, felt super comfortable with the shot. Got on him, was about to shoot right away, but the heart was pumping, so I was in no rush, even though when it comes to those situations, you think you, like, everything's a time crunch, you only have seconds and he's gone, but he was just feeding, so took a couple minute or two to calm down a little bit more for the shot. Felt comfortable, had a hunter watching him, and yeah, it was a perfect shot. One shot, just dropped him. And I'm shooting a bigger caliber gun for deer. That's a 300 Ultra. So a lot of times with the recoil, I don't see where I hit, but it was cool that I was able to get right back in on him and saw him dropping the scope. So we'll see. That was awesome.
That's crazy. He was out so early too. Like, props to you guys for being there. Like, you probably would have walked in on him if you were any later.
Yeah, for sure. He came out early, and I'm glad we took the time to hurry and cover the hillside before getting into where we wanted to be, because good chance we would have busted him out coming down through the clearing we had to make it through. So
that's sweet. So, what was he like? Was he pretty much what you thought he was?
Yeah. So even when I shot him, I could see the cheater. He looked more tall than wide. And just looked like average forks. And so we shoot him, and it was fun. Briggs was chasing Idaho, or elk in Idaho, solo. And my dad and Chase were separate. But I called him, and we'd kind of mentioned the previous one. We kind of like to mess with each other, and we'd call. So I called in my dad, Chase, and Briggs separate. I was like, hey, I'm sitting on a buck. I'm going to send you a little video. I don't know if I think I should shoot him or not where it's opening day. And I thought they would all catch on to what I was doing, but they all bought into hook, line, and sinker. So they get the video, they're zooming in to try to see what it is, and it was the kill shot. So
it actually got me good. Like, in the back of my head, I was like, why on earth are you asking me if it's a shoot or not, like, for you? I'm like, just shoot what you want, you know? but I was like, oh, I'll try to judge it. I'm like, it's kind of hard. But yeah, like right when I'm zooming in on the buck, like trying to tell what it is, it drops in the video. And I'm like, what the heck? Like,
yeah. That's actually funny.
Yeah, but it was awesome. So yeah, we got there on them, and luckily had plenty of light to cape them out and cut them up and hike them out. But yeah, he ended up being, I never officially scored him, but he's probably a low 70s buck. He's got like a 4.5-inch cheater, 28 inches wide. So
just a sweet buck. Definitely was wider than I thought.
For all that you had going on. Like.
Yeah, for sure. So, yeah, it worked out perfect. And I'm like telling my wife where that was two opening day bucks that year. I'm like, it's not usually like this, but hey, I'll take a big buck when I can get them.
She's the good luck.
Yeah, she's going to start expecting you to just be gone a day.
I know, gone for 2 days and kill a big buck, yeah. But I'll take a big buck when I get it, so.
Yeah, for sure. So then the last hunt of the year, Jackson and Hunter both had late archery tags. Did you guys have them together, or were those separate?
Yeah, we had them together.
Okay.
Yep.
So
all four of us.
Yeah, go into that hunt a bit.
Yeah, so late season archery hunt. I tagged out on my bull, and luckily, you know, we got back and got right into chasing these bucks. And my goal is to give Hunter a chance where he didn't have any out-of-state tags, so this is kind of his one deer tag for the year. So mm-hmm. He was the priority to get on a buck. And me and him were up one evening, and I had seen – I knew where a pocket of does were that we kept checking day after day when we were up there. And usually every year we see at least one big buck show up in there. And so I got a quick glimpse of a buck this one evening, and there never saw tines or anything. Just I saw him pushing does for a quick second. It was getting dark. So the next day we were going to go try to turn up that buck, but we were going to hit a few spots on our way before getting to there, and Chase ended up going in on a different buck, kind of took up most of the morning. Then he ended up, had a close call, buck blew out. But we had fresh snow, a lot of fresh powder on the ground, so Chase was following the tracks he ended up a couple miles deeper, trying to catch up to this buck. So in the meantime, me and Hunter, it was about noon, I'm like, let's run back up to where I saw that buck yesterday. See if there's usually two spots they usually bed. So I'm like, we can hike in real quick while Chase is getting off the mountain and see if we can turn him up. So, like I said, I wanted Hunter to have first dibs. So I'm like, which spot do you want me to go to? He chose one, and sure enough, I go to the other, and that's where the buck is. So I peek over this little ridge, and I can see a doe 150 yards away from me down the bottom. Figured probably the buck's right there with her. And so the doe kind of pegged me, so I was stood still for about 20 minutes just waiting for her to calm down a little bit. Then was able to make a loop down and around and get 70 yards across this ravine from her.
Yeah.
And then she starts to walk off a little bit. She saw me again. And I'm like, huh, that's weird. She's just by herself. But then I happened to catch the buck bedded in some super thick oaks. And some super thick stuff. So I can't really tell what he is at this point. I can just see it. I can just see a frame. And then he had me peg the buck. And I tried to move about 10 yards. I had some cover, so I thought I was going to be fine to move about 10 yards to get to where I could maybe have a lane if he stood up and would hopefully at least just to be able to see what he is. Well, he gets up and starts to bust.
Uh-huh.
And what kind of saved me is it was super quiet with the fresh powder, so I could move quick. And I was able, as soon as he started to bust, I got out of his sight super quick and made a circle around. So he was still focused over me, and that was the threat. So he was still focused in right there. And I was able to loop around from a different angle and peek up at 30 yards, and I can just see antler tips.
No
way. And he looked at me. He looked my way for a second, then went right back to where I originally was. The doe takes off. He starts to follow. So I move up about 10 yards where I can see up in a shooting lane above me. And thankfully he stops in that. And he's quarter two looking at me. And at first I was like, no, I'm not going to shoot him. And then it was cool. I don't know if he thought I was a different buck now coming out the doe. He puffed his neck up, stuck it up, clear up tall. Like I could see the hair shooting out the side of his neck. Like, come out the turkey, just all strutted up. And he was just looking down my way for about 3 minutes or so. And then finally I was just like, all right,
he's a cool buck. If I can get a good range, have a calm shot, I'll shoot him. So I'm able to step out from this bush I'm at, shoot, hit him. I see him crashing immediately into some stuff. Figured he was going to die right there. So I just backed out slow. Well, as I was hiking out, I happened to look back and I see him come back out into this trail and then bed down. And I could tell he was hurting, but I hate to see him suffer. So he was at a good spot to hurry and get back in and try to put another arrow. So I was able to sneak into 30 yards, had him bedded down and put another one in, and he went about 10 yards and tipped over. So that was it on that buck. Yeah.
That's sweet.
Yeah, so it was fun. Hunter was right there with me, and then we waited for Chase to get off the mountain, and Briggs and my dad came up, and we were all there together, so it was super fun. Not a giant,
dang,
but
you got cool close buck. Then.
Yeah. Yep. So sweet.
Me and Jackson, we also got some, like, we got some history doing some teaming up on deer. Like, there was one time, I didn't know it, but we were both stalking the same deer. I'm probably like 80 yards. I just got to sneak around some scrub oak, and then I had a shot. And I look over, and Jackson's like 30 yards away on the same deer. he's got a clear open shot.
Shot it out right from under him.
Yeah. And then the other one, I actually shot in a crappy shot. I hit the top of its back, and then it runs down. Jackson smokes it.
No. I purposely set out in the exit route. Yeah, this was 2 years prior, previous. But yeah, Hunter.
I don't know if it's even just a Hunter or Jackson. I think it's just a Jackson thing. There was one of his big bucks that he shot, another big inline buck. We both went in after it, and I took one ridge, he took the other, and if that buck would have went another 20 yards up on top of the ridge, I'd have had like a 40-yard shot, but Jackson decided poke him at 90 yards across the ravine instead.
Yeah, I didn't know it was going right towards Chase, but
yeah, I shot him. So.
That's funny.
You got him down.
Yeah. So.
And yeah,
better to be lucky than good, I'll say that much.
So now that Jackson's tagged out, you have a chance.
Yep.
Yeah, now I have a chance. I just gotta shoot good. So, but yeah. So yeah, at this point, that was Saturday, right?
Yeah.
So Sunday.
And the last few years, it happens to where I tag out, and the next day a giant shows up.
Yeah. Really?
Happened the last few years. Yeah.
Oh yeah. So now we can count on it. But yeah. So he shot it Saturday. Sunday night, we were actually up. Chase went in after a buck. It was kind of a Hail Mary because, I mean, we couldn't see it. Me and Briggs were trying to get eyes on it for Chase, but he was just kind of cruising. I mean, it's the rut and hoping you'd get lucky and turn him up. So we're glassing, and then I end up turning up the buck I shot, which up to this point, we've hunted early season on this unit. And then we've also started hunting the late season. And, like, up to this point, we haven't really seen anything too impressive. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, when I saw this thing, I was, like, my jaw dropped. I was like, oh, my gosh, I'm freaking out. For a second, I thought we were going to be able to get chase it. So I thought we'd get it killed right there. But he's too far away, and it was getting dark. So, but okay. Let's see. That was Sunday. And then I think Friday.
A couple other times.
Yeah.
Briggs, a couple days later, went on a stalk and had him at within 60 yards, just no clear shot.
Yeah.
The same big buck.
Yeah. And he was sitting, like, right on the edge of him. And then the buck decided he wasn't interested in any of the does. And then he just took off. And, yeah, no opportunity for Briggs there. So.
Yeah, he's kind of in that cruising state during the rut, just check another doe out. So he went out. It was weird because he was rutting the one doe super hard. So we thought it was a matter of time and Briggs was going to get a clear shot. Yeah. You'll hear about it later in the story as well, but he did it twice where he's with does and then would just take off.
Yeah. But yeah. Yeah, from the time he turned him up to the time he got him killed, it was 8 days. But it was Sunday night. Jackson's like, hey, like, go try killing him. And I was like, sure. Let's go.
And Hunter was kind of in the dumps that night because our number two buck.
You can tell him.
Yeah, okay, our number two buck. So me and Chase were going in after a buck. I was, like, kind of staying back because I thought he was going to be in on him first, and he found him. So he was going in on him, and I was just kind of waiting back, seeing if there was, like, an escape route I could go sit. And I'm sitting there, and I hear some, like, crashing or some, like, twigs breaking, and I was like, what is that? I was like, I thought I was going to get ran over by a moose. And then, I ended up seeing the buck come walking right up above me to like 20 yards. And there's a super steep, and I drew back. It's super steep, and there's like some scrub. I thought I'd be able to clear it, and I wasn't sure. Like, I tried seeing if I could get a shot off, and I ended up shooting anyways. Hit a branch, arrow flung up in the air. I was sad. I was like, frick, that could not have worked out any better. But, I'm kind of down in the dumps, but.
This was the previous night.
Yeah.
20 kills, but.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So the next morning we go out, like right off the bat, Jackson ends up finding him. And Jackson's like, I found him. Like, he's up there. He's probably a mile away. He's in the open, just rutting some does. And I knew how to go quick because where he was at, he could disappear in like 30 seconds. So I start running up there. It's freezing cold, but I'm like halfway up there. Uh-huh. And Jackson's like, okay, dude, he just left the does again. So he's off cruising, just working his way across his face.
This buck was all business. It was weird. Like I mentioned, both times he was running a specific doe hard, thought she was in heat, and then he would just take off. So it's kind of weird, but those big bucks, they don't like to just sit and run around for fun like the little ones.
Yeah. So I just start taking off. I'm like, I'm trying to chase a rutting deer. So I'm all in butt, working my way across. I have my AirPod in, so I'm listening to Jackson. He's giving me updates of what he's doing. But I'm just trailing him, and he's just cruising. But he finally gets to a spot where he kind of, like, starts
raking trees.
Yeah. So I was able to kind of catch up, and I got to a spot, and Jackson's like, if you could see this group of trees, like, you're 200, 300 yards away. And I ended up seeing that group, and he's like, dude, he's like, you probably could be able to see him. So I hear him get kind of tucked up into some pine trees, and I'm still just working towards him. It was fresh snow, so I could move pretty quick and stay quiet. And Jackson's like, dude, he's like, he's actually coming like towards you a little bit. I was like, really?
No.
So
way.
I'm just, like I hear him get up like in a good spot where I got cover. I'm just tied up against a pine tree. And Jackson's like, dude, he's still just coming.
Yeah, he kind of turned and started coming right at him. But I lost the buck. But with the way he was headed, I'm like, Hunter, if he pops out, he's going to be within 80 yards. And, next thing I know, I see this buck standing in the clear at 80 yards. I knew it was about to get real.
Yeah. So
no way.
I'm, like, losing my crap. I'm trying to calm down. And Jackson's still just on the phone. I just still got my AirPod in. And he, like, loses it for a second. He's like, dude, he's going to be, like, either right in front of you or, like, right above you, like, at, like, 20 yards. So he's like, when I say draw back, like, you draw back. I'm like, okay. So I'm just chilling there. And finally he's like, draw back. So I just draw back. And I'm sitting there for a second. And then I see his antler tips come through the trees. He just slowly starts working his way across. And he got behind a little pine tree, and I was able to hurry and pivot so that way I could have a clear shot. And he ended up coming out at, like, I saw him at 24 yards.
And then, yeah, shot about 24 yards. He goes running off. I wait for Jackson to get up there, but I knew it was a good shot, but I'm always second guessing it. And there was like no blood. There was like little specks for like 20, 30 yards.
Yeah. And then seriously not a drop, which was
and it's weird.
In the snow, so you'd think you'd be able to see everything.
Yeah.
He thought hit him center mass behind the shoulder. And yeah, not a drop of blood. I don't know if it was just so cold it was freezing up or
it was kind of a weird
deal.
Yeah. So I was kind of panicking. I was like, I think it's a good shot, but I don't know. Never know. But we've had some bucks in the past where, like, they don't bleed, but they're piled up, like, 50, 60 yards away. So
I'd see them go about 80 yards and stop in pine trees and never came out. So
yeah,
we were hoping he was dead right there.
So we just start slowly tracking the tracks in the snow. And then we got up to this little spot, and Jackson's like, I can see his antlers. And it looks like he's standing up from where we're at. So I dropped my pack. Yeah, I'm freaking out. I'm like, okay, like, I need AirPod in again because I was going to lose sight of him as I snuck out.
30 yards away.
Yeah, only 30 yards away. So I got my AirPod in. Jackson calls, so that way, like, the few seconds I'm not going to be able to see him, like, he could let me know if he starts running. So I just slowly start sneaking up. And then I get up to the tree. I'm probably 20 yards at this point. I hear him draw back and then just, like, step out. And then I just start walking up towards him. He was just piled up. But I ended up walking all the way up to, like, 5 yards because I was like, if this thing gets up and runs off and I mess it up, I'm going to be losing it. So
yeah,
I walked up on him full draw. He was dead. I was so stoked. And yeah,
I bet that's a pretty big deer too. That's crazy.
Yeah, I was super excited with him. It was a grind of a year. We worked hard for him, so
good cap at the end of the season. So
yeah geez, that's going to be a hard year to beat, but, I mean, you guys have had some great years in the past, too, but this year seems just a little extra special with all of you guys
showing
really good bucks.
Yeah, I think there was only two deer tags we didn't fill out of all the tags we had, so it's a pretty good year. And they were all – that's the other nice thing, too, is they were all really good, mature, big bucks, so super fun year.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy to kill that many, like, good bucks and fill that many tags, but the caliber of bucks you guys are doing it on is pretty, like, pretty unheard of. Like, I don't know of anyone else right now that's killing as many big bucks as you guys, so I appreciate you guys getting on and sharing some of your knowledge and your stories. It was fun to hear.
Yeah, sorry it wasn't. I mean, yeah, we probably didn't share too much knowledge and stuff trying to cram all those hunts into a short amount of time, but
we're no, I think it's good.
Like to hunt, so
no. Yeah, I think you can kind of learn from stories just listening to how other people do it. So no, I think it was perfect, and appreciate you guys getting on. I'll make sure I tag you guys on Instagram and stuff, but. Where can the listeners find you? You have the Instagram, the Four Brothers Hunt is your Instagram tag, with all your pictures, and then you guys each all have your own personal Instagrams, right?
Yes, sir. Yeah. And yeah, you can, yeah, it's just Four Brothers Hunt on Instagram, and then all of us on that page, usually we all have our own, like, tag or name or something on there to get our personal accounts as well. So
both are hunting content, all on that one page. So
hey guys, thanks for listening to another episode of the Dirty Giants podcast. I really appreciate all the support. I think this was a really cool episode. I think there's a lot to take and some really cool stories. These guys are super consistent, and obviously what they're doing is working, and you can see it based on their results. We're going to put out some new episodes here soon. We have some really awesome guests lined out, And I think there's going to be some really cool content coming. So stay tuned. And as always, if you have a chance, if you'll leave us a review on whatever platform you listen to your podcast on, that helps a lot. It boosts our podcast up and gets us more listeners. Anyways, thanks again.